following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome everyone to the Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast. Alongside Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood, I am Olivia Reiner. The Packers had their final training camp practice open to the media today. They are getting set for their final preseason game against the Buffalo Bills on the road this weekend. We want today to touch on some of the position groups that you should keep an eye on this weekend, some particular players. They'll have a lot on the line as they try to make the initial 53-man roster in just about a week. Before we get into that, Ryan had a very heartwarming anecdote to share with us from today's practice.
And anytime you can put Ryan and heartwarming in the same sentence, we have to start there. JJ Molson might be the nicest human being on planet Earth. It's possible. First of all, he's from Canada, so that qualifies him right there. But I was shooting video of the quarterbacks today, something that you do every practice. And this is my eighth camp. This has never happened before. I'm shooting video and he's walking by on the sideline in front of me, in front of my shot, whatever. It's hazard of the job. You just expect this at this point. This happens all the time. Players are always walking in front of your shot. And except JJ Molson apologizes. He's, I'm sorry. And he does. So if you're a print writer, there is sideline decorum at practice, and you know that if you're about to walk in front of someone on the TV side who is shooting video, you duck. You can go through, but you go under their shot. You don't walk in front of the camera. JJ Molson does a print writer courtesy, and he apologizes, and he ducks underneath my shot, and I was just stunned. You're okay, man. You got to practice, so... Yeah, it was he literally might be the nicest human being on planet Earth. And Tom Silverstein, I know you track these field goals religiously. He can kick a little bit too.
He's a lot nicer than I am, because I would have walked right through your...
Yes, you would have.
And I almost purposely try to do that through the TV people's shots. So, but I never purport to be a nice person.
At least you admit it.
My words about JJ Molson, I think they're going to kick him against Buffalo. If they're smart, if they do, because I think they can get something from him. The way he was killing the ball today. He hit from 56 and 60 yards. And I mean, we're talking about not just like line drives. These are beautiful kicks. If if you don't have a proven guy like Mason Crosby, this guy's in the NFL. And so I think they will kick him all through the Buffalo game.
Let's take a look at some other positions our lovely audience should keep an eye on as they're watching the game this upcoming Saturday. We've discussed the quarterback position pretty extensively on this podcast. We even hit on it last week following the Jets game and Kurt Benkert's pretty stellar performance. But Benkert has really thrown a wrench into the Packers' plans. They have to sit down, make the decision whether or not they want to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, including Kurt Benkert, or they just want to keep Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love as one and two. What are the Packers most likely to do? Are they likely to keep Benkert on the active 53, or are they going to try to sneak him through to the practice squad?
Well, Ryan, you kind of wrote about it. What do you think?
I still don't think he's going to. What surprised me today, though, is that Matt LaFleur said that Kurt Benkert is definitely going to play in Buffalo. And I get it. I know Jordan Love's got the throwing shoulder strain and all that. But Matt LaFleur also said that Jordan Love has no pain in his shoulder. So if that's the case, he gets through the first half and he's still feeling good. You know, the plan for Jordan Love, according to LaFleur, is at least the first half and somewhat into the third quarter. He's feeling good somewhat into the third quarter. I think there's two very good reasons to let Jordan Love play the entire game or something very, very close to it. One, Jordan Love needs those snaps, especially the Bills are, especially early in the game, expected to play some starters. He's played one half of football in the NFL. That's all he's had. He needs as many snaps as possible. And after this, you're shutting him down for meaningless snaps unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt for months. And this is it for Jordan Love. So from that side, but also you don't want to get any more Kurt Benkert film. I get that he's only a third quarterback and he's a guy that, but you know, months from now, you might need a backup for Jordan Love.
What if you're trying to trade him? You know, see if there's, you're just trying to shop him because someone might just step out and give you something.
You know so they're
going to claim him.
They were never able to find a trading partner for Tim Boyle. It's just one of those things. I think teams are much more likely to just sit and wait and be patient and try to get them on the waiver claim. Because at the end of the day, Tom, I don't think this team wants to put two quarterbacks on the 53 or three quarterbacks on the 53. I think two is the preferred number there when you look at how the rest of the roster might break down. So, and I think the teams know that. You got Aaron Rodgers, you got Jordan Love, you got the now MVP, you've got the future. You know, it would be ideal if they can get him through their practice squad. I don't see him being on the 53, and I think he is very claimable. I think
he'll be back on the 53. I mean, on the practice squad. I really do. I think there's only so many quarterback spots, and, you know, he's been playing against, you know, like Aaron Rodgers said today, the practices against the Jets, which of course he was sort of contradicting himself about the joint practices, but he said those were more important than preseason games for for Jordan Love, because the Jets actually played their real defense against him. So, you know, Kurt Beckert has seen really vanilla defenses. They're not blitzing him much. You know, we have to take that. We get kind of tunnel vision on this because we're there seeing it every day. I'd be surprised if he gets claimed.
What if he goes berserk in Buffalo though? Because he's going to get that opportunity. I mean, if he puts a third straight good game out there on film and he gets almost a half of football, doesn't that increase the odds?
Well, you better hope that Jacob Capra and Van Lannen and all those guys are blocking their butts off, because usually the fourth quarter of a preseason game, the last preseason game, is just like chaos. So I don't know. We'll see.
Speaking of offensive linemen blocking their butts off, that's certainly another position that we'll all be keeping track of this upcoming game. And really, I mean, we've been keeping track of it all throughout training camp as the Packers have cycled in different players in both guard spots. We've seen various combinations. Now we're seeing a lot of Lucas Patrick starting at left guard and Royce Newman at right guard. And Matt LaFleur kind of whittled the interior offensive line competition with those two spots down to the two of them plus John Runyon Jr. Seems like Ben Braden has kind of fallen out of that competition. So what are you going to be looking for in this game this upcoming weekend when it comes to Newman, Runyon, and Patrick as they vie to make the starting lineup?
Well, I'll start. I know with Lucas Patrick, they've got to find out that he can, whether he can hold up in pass blocking, whether he's, you know, kind of gets his rhythm in that he's had some holding penalties. He's got knocked around a little bit. Left guard is, you know, right guard is more of a position where you're probably going to run more, you know, behind the right tackle and the tight end. So I'll be looking at that. I kind of think that Royce Newman has locked up a spot on there, unless he just has an absolutely awful game. I think he's in. I think it comes down to how both Runyon and Patrick play left guard. And then really, you know, the one thing about it is, like, so the guy who ends up playing left guard is the guy who is the lesser of the two, because he's going to be out of the lineup as soon as David Bakhtiari comes back, in my opinion. So I think Royce Newman will be at right guard, and then I think the left guard will be between those two guys.
You know who telegraphed that today was Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers was talking about why he got on Josh Myers, the rookie center, so much, and he said he needs to play like a veteran and not a rookie, because he's probably going to be playing beside a young player, and that young player would be Royce Newman at right guard. So – Yes, I mean they look very much like they're going to have two starters on the middle of their offensive line who are rookies, and I think that's also a good point, Tom, that you pay attention to the right guard because the left guard is going to be out as soon as Elgton Jenkins comes back to his Pro Bowl home.
There will be a changing of the guards midseason, or maybe not even midseason. David Bakhtiari, how far do we think he is now in his rehab? I always try to look over and watch him as he's running his sprints on the sideline, and I'm like, I could not tell you anything. I'm not an athletic trainer. I know nothing. But for someone who tore his ACL a year ago, I'm looking at him running around. I'm like, hey, he looks like he's running around pretty well.
You know what I noticed? So I'm watching them, and it's him and Dennis Kelly, and they're running around cones and planting and moving. And I'm looking at them, and I'm going, this is the difference between an all-pro tackle who is like bouncing around the corner. I mean, he's like cutting through the cones like he's, a track star. And Dennis Kelly is just lumbering through the whole thing. He can barely cut. His feet are slow. You know, Bakhtiari, boom, 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 boom. And then here comes Dennis Kelly. So that's what I noticed when they were doing it. But hard to say that what Bakhtiari's been doing in terms of football stuff. We just see him running cones.
You know what I noticed is that David Bakhtiari and Dennis Kelly were both barefoot at practice today, which that's living bold right there. As Chris Roth, who I was standing next to on the sideline, WBAY, said, how often is it that you see a left tackle and a center the same height? Because without shoes on, David Bakhtiari was standing next to Josh Myers, and they were basically the same height. It's kind of bizarre to see. Not very often you see that. But, I wonder how much – in pads, David Bakhtiari, like, can you just go from rehab to playing in a regular season game with no buildup? I don't think so. And so the fact that he's had nothing, and I don't know how much he'll need. He's an all pro, but the fact that it's been nothing, who knows? I don't think any of us really know how close he is to returning, but it doesn't strike me as someone who is all that close to being able to go down to New Orleans and play. I mean, you're looking.
I think that's a long shot.
Yeah. The question is whether or not he's going to start on the PUP. And I think that will be very interesting to see if he does start the season on the PUP, where he would not cost a 53 spot, but he would miss the first 6 weeks, or if they activate him next week and they put him on the 53. And now you have 52 other spots, but you might get your all pro left tackle back before week 7.
Yeah.
These are important questions to ask. The only thing we do know about David Bakhtiari is that he did not like the music selection at practice today.
That was great. tell the people what happened, Olivia. That was phenomenal.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling has, I don't know if he's every single day been setting the playlist. I don't even know if it's his playlist, but he has been moseying up to the whatever you want to call that, the little booth where they've got their music set up, and he got yelled at by Bakhtiari today, and Bakhtiari criticized Valdez-Scantling for his music choice. So things are light, or maybe there's a lot of tension there. Who knows? you could read into it either way.
Side note, I have noticed there's been a lot less rock and roll lately at practice and a lot more rap and R&B. So, it might, I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who sets it every day. I'm not sure who's responsible. I'm not sure. These are the questions that we should be asking, perhaps for a later date. Let's move on now to a different position group, looking ahead to this weekend. We'll start with that. I want to talk about the entire Packers secondary, but let's start with the cornerbacks, because the landscape of cornerbacks land, at least in the Packers facility, has changed quite a bit over the past week or two, with Josh Jackson being traded to the New York Giants in exchange for Isaac Yiadom, and the Packers shipping off Kadar Holman to the Houston Texans. So currently the locks for the roster are Jaire Alexander, Eric Stokes, and Kevin King. Behind the three of them, Chandon Sullivan has solidified himself as their starting nickel. Behind him, that's when things get a little bit more unclear. So I'm curious to you, who are you going to be watching this weekend? Who do you think has the best shot behind the top four
of making the initial 53.
I'm going to be watching everybody, because when I went through our, you know, our annual roster breakdown in corners and say there's 13, 14 defensive backs on the roster right now. Only one was a long shot, and that was Steven Denmark, who they signed yesterday. Everyone else is at least on the bubble. It's unbelievable how many spots are open, you know, especially on a team that there aren't a lot of spots open on this team. I mean, they're sitting 30 players in the preseason opener, 32 against week two against the Jets. They have a pretty good idea of who their 53 is, but the defensive backfield is very much open. And I thought it was interesting that Isaac Yiadom had a lot of first team reps today. They're giving him a look. He's a guy that, you know, on special teams and the fact that he's played in the league, he can make the 53 and maybe force them to take seven corners. Because I think after those top four, I think KB Nento and Shamar John Charles are in good shape. The question is whether they keep six or they keep seven with Yiadom. And the way that he was getting reps today, if he goes out and he plays well Saturday in Buffalo, he's a guy that could force them to keep seven corners.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking more at the safeties just because they kind of interest me. I think it's a battle between Christian Apoff and Innis Gaines. I think they're battling more than likely for one spot. And I think probably Vernon Scott and Henry Black have the roster made, I would guess. And then it's up to those two guys. And boy, they're both hard guys to cheer against, you know. Root maybe. They both have come the hard way to the NFL, and they're really fighting for a shot. And so they're going to be flying around. I think they'll be two guys to watch for sure.
Christian Upoff had that sliding interception today. Now the play wouldn't have counted because Jordan Love's hard count got Delonte Scott to jump off. So it was a free play, and the receiver cut off the route underneath and was on the same page, but you know, he made a play today.
Love has gotten pretty good at that hard count. He gets guys offsides quite a bit, and he got his own guys jumping a couple times too.
Yeah, was it John Runyon today?
Good cadence.
He learned from the best. Tom, in that battle between Uphoff and Gaines for potentially one final safety spot, is there a particular player you think has an edge right now for any specific reason?
I would say maybe Uphoff, just because he had a couple of nice plays in the Jets game on special teams. But, you know, I've seen Gaines put some licks on people too. I think that thing is a toss-up. And so I don't really know what direction they go on that. Maybe they don't keep either of them. Maybe they put them on the practice squad. But I think those two guys are going to be just flying around.
Is there any chance they keep six safeties?
I doubt it.
It's not what you want to do.
Probably with five receivers then, because one of those guys would be a special teams guy. And maybe one less linebacker. I don't think so. Because I think you can get both of those safeties through waivers.
So speaking of receivers, if we think that six receivers are going to make the roster, there are five that are locks, right? Davante Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Alan Lazard, Mari Rogers, Randall Cobb. You've got your five. Then behind the locks, and we've been discussing all throughout training camp, it seemed like Devin Funchess was in the mix, Malik Taylor, Equanimeous St. Brown, Reggie Bagleton has emerged more and more over the last several weeks. Now Funchess is out of the equation because the Packers placed him on season-ending injured reserve as he deals with a hamstring injury. So currently the competition stands among the three of them for one, maybe two spots. Who has the leg up right now?
I I sort of have written off the sixth wide receiver. I think Malik Taylor would get it if well, all things being equal, I think Equanimeous St. Brown would get it because he's the most talented of them, but he's been hurt and he can't get on the field. And so I don't think he's going to make it. If they keep a sixth, I think it'll be Malik Taylor. Special teams is involved. But my whole observation about this is we've kind of talked about competition, when really the top four guys are settled. And those are the only guys who play. You know, the other guys play only if there's an injury. So even Randall Cobb is going to have a hard time getting on the field because the Packers use so many tight ends, running backs as receivers. They don't play a lot of four wide receivers, and they don't rotate a lot of guys. I think Valdez Scantling and Davante Adams are going to be on the field as much as possible.
Boy, that's going to be interesting between Amari Rodgers and Randall Cobb. You know, Randall Cobb got a ton of reps today in that 2-minute drill with Rodgers.
They bumped Amari Rodgers way down. It's Randall Cobb. It's all preparing Randall Cobb for the start of the season. There's no question about that. It's what happens, you know, during the practice weeks and whether Cobb stays healthy too.
Yeah. We started camp talking about that dynamic, and I think that that's going to just continue to be very, very fascinating to see what happens there. But as far as the numbers game of receiver, I'm with you, Tom. I think on the strength of special teams, and that's why I don't feel like the bottom of the receiver depth chart is irrelevant. It matters because of special. I mean, Malik Taylor is going to be that sixth receiver for special teams, and he just like Isaac Yiadom on the other side of the line of scrimmage, Malik Taylor got a lot of first team reps today, and they're giving him a look. But he's not going to play. Yiadom's not going to play. And they got top four at corner. These guys are getting looks on offense and defense for special teams. And when you already lost Randy Ramsey and now you've lost Will Redmond, you have got to find some new faces on those units. And they've got to come from corner. They've got to come from receiver. Malik Taylor's got to be a guy that can step up and be a core special teamer for you. And I think on that possibility, That is how he makes this 53-man roster. Equanimeous St. Brown, more talented guy. Not just the fact that he hasn't been healthy, but I don't know what he gives you on special teams. It's certainly not as much as Malik Taylor gives you on special teams. I mean, if it's close, and if you're talking about a sixth receiver, it's by definition close. If it's close, the tie goes to the special teamer.
Yeah, you know, the problem with keeping six receivers is that you have to keep probably all of them up. And because a guy who plays just special teams has to be ready as a backup, you know, he has to be part of the backup discussion. And so that's what the constant back and forth is with special teams is, okay, can this guy play a role plus be the backup in case something happens to so-and-so? Malik Taylor can do that, but then why do you have Amari Rodgers active? So maybe Amari Rodgers, if they keep six, maybe he's not active. That's going to be something to watch if they keep six.
You know, not to be flippant with this, but you know what in some ways the biggest difficulty with having Randall Cobb on this roster is that he's not giving you special teams. I mean, he might be a backup punt returner, but he's not a core special teams guy at this stage of his career. And that's what you need as a fifth receiver. You need a core on this team. You need your fifth receiver to be a core special teams guy, and that is not Randall Cobb.
Well, and that's the thing. If Amari Rodgers is inactive, then Randall Cobb has to be the punt returner. So Amari Rodgers probably has to be active. These are all things that they have to consider when they're paring down the roster. Whether guys – you talk about the safeties, can those guys – be backups? Well, you only need two backups probably at safety, and the other guys, you know, they're twiddling their fingers. I don't know how this is going to shake out. You can't keep too many guys at one position.
Shaping up to be interesting and perhaps a little complicated in some areas, but still lots of fun. Are there any other position groups or even particular players that you're really eager to see on Saturday?
Well,
besides Jake Kumerow.
Yeah, I'm going to get away from my guy, Jack Heflin, for a minute. I kind of like Bronson Kafui. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
There's Kafusi. An S in there. Yeah.
Kafusi.
Sorry, Kafusi. I just think he is an interesting cat. And Rodgers would just, his head would explode if they kept him in place of Mercedes Lewis.
Oh my God.
But, you know, I enjoy watching that guy, and I'm going to watch him closely because I want to see if he's just a big body or if he really can block. I've seen him block pretty well in practice, but I want to see it in a game too.
So I'll stick with Jack Heflin. I'll steal.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You got to pick your own guy.
You know, what was interesting though, is that, you know, Tyler Lancaster was injured today. I mean, he's out right now and we'll see if he can play Saturday, but if that's close there, that could swing something. I think that's definitely worth keeping an eye on.
Another guy was the guy that they signed today, yesterday, the defensive lineman, Abdullah is his last name, I think. Mm-hmm. No,
Abdullah Anderson.
Yeah. So I just was watching him for the heck of it. And he puts on this spin move on Yash Nieman. And I mean, it was like Nieman was blocking air. I mean, this guy just ran right past him into the backfield. So they must have seen something with him. Like there must be some pass rush ability with him. I'm going to watch him a little bit too. You know, I'm sure he's a practice squad type guy, but they must have liked something because I saw him. That one play was pretty impressive.
The only other player I'll throw out there too, and I wouldn't get too excited about this player, but I feel like Dexter Williams, even though he's been getting some like kind of garbage time snaps, he's been playing relatively well. I think he's been a player that we've been kind of low on just because he hasn't gotten many looks over the past two seasons. He's got 7 carries and 7 career games. He was drafted back in 2019. So the preseason through 2 games, 12 carries for 54 yards. So math, 4.5 yards per carry. Not too bad. I think it's just unfortunate for him that Kylin Hill is playing so much better than he is and he's getting more opportunities.
Keeps getting knocked back, you know.
Yeah,
he's here and competing for the third, and then they draft AJ Dillon, and then he's maybe going to compete for the third, and then they draft Kylin Hill. It's too bad because I'd just like to see him get a chance to see what he could do. I was watching him in practice today. He made this one hand grab. It was great, and you know I don't know. He just seems like a guy that you wish he could get a chance to really show what he's got after 3 years.
He's clearly got talent. It's just, it's been a little stunning to me how far down the depth chart he's been pushed. I mean, he's had those 12 carries in 2 games, but that's all come at the very end. He's the last guy in off the sideline at his position, even behind Patrick Taylor. And when he's played, he's shown his talent. He's played pretty well. So it's, you know, he came in and he took some time learning the NFL game, learning the playbook and figuring out what he was doing for sure. But third year, it seems like the game has slowed down for him and that he's gotten a grasp of that and he's played better because of it. He just hasn't gotten the opportunity.
So potentially a candidate there for practice squad, but ultimately he could maybe end up stolen away somewhere. We'll see.
If I can just give you a little alert. So the Giants traded a kicker to the Panthers today. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about him, Ryan Santoso, but they got a conditional seventh round pick. I mean, the Packers could get a 2 for JJ Molson now.
A 2?
Yeah. They're going to get a 2 for him after like a 65 yarder against Buffalo.
Keep it on the DL or maybe don't. Maybe the Packers want you to run around screaming from the rooftops about this, Tom.
Well, he's got a great last name and he is a remarkably kind gentleman on the sidelines at practice. So, you add in the foot, he's got the whole package. He's a 5-tool player.
Fabulous. Is there anything else today, gentlemen, that we want to hit on before we wrap things up?
I'm just ready for some Buffalo wings.
That's true. Yeah, Ryan will be out in Buffalo. The game on Saturday is going to be a Packers news exclusive. Because Ryan, I think, might be the only one locally from Green Bay going out there to cover the game. So make sure you follow Ryan for whatever. I'm sure he'll have some updates that you won't be able to get by watching the television broadcast. So Ryan, we will rely on your eyes and ears on the ground.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's obviously it's good, especially after how last year was, to not be on the road as much. It's best to be in the stadium on game day, whether it's preseason or regular season. So yeah, definitely come to Packers News, and I do believe that, as you said, I'll be the only Packers beat writer in Buffalo. So make sure you come to Packers News.
And if you have any Buffalo wing recommendations. I think Ryan's already got some, but I'm sure he will take more. And Ryan, if you bring a carry-on and you have room to bring back Buffalo wings, I will not object if you bring me Buffalo wings.
I'll take orders.
Great. Great. That is going to do it for us today, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back after the game on Saturday to wrap things up and even look ahead. Maybe we'll do a 53-man roster projection on Saturday. Why not? So put your brainstorming caps on, gentlemen, because we have a lot to think about. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Also, make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com for all of your Packers coverage. For Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood, I'm Olivia Reiner. We will talk to you next time.